Welcome to History in a Year, America's first 250 years.
Join us every single day as we journey from the Revolution of 1776 to the 250th anniversary of the United States.
You can find every episode and join the discussion at pointedwords.com. I'm Stephen.
And I'm Leah.
It is March 13th. Welcome to episode 72. Yesterday, we watched the war hawks in Congress loudly demanding a war with Great Britain.
But while the politicians were giving speeches in Washington, D.C., a very real, very bloody war was already brewing out on the western frontier.
By the early 1800s, the American hunger for land was completely out of control. Hundreds of thousands of white settlers were pouring over the Appalachian Mountains, chopping down the forests, and carving out farms in the Ohio Valley and the Indiana Territory.
And they were completely displacing the Native American tribes who had lived there for generations. The Shawnee, the Miami, the Delaware, they were being pushed further and further west, losing their hunting grounds and suffering from massive outbreaks of European diseases.
To make matters worse, the American government was using a very deliberate, predatory strategy to take the land.
The governor of the Indiana Territory was a young, incredibly ambitious politician named William Henry Harrison.
Harrison's strategy was to find the weakest, most desperate chiefs of a particular tribe, get them heavily intoxicated, and offer them a tiny amount of money or a small annuity in exchange for signing away millions of acres of land.
He would tell these chiefs, "If you don't sign this treaty, the settlers will just take the land anyway, and you will get nothing."
It was a divide-and-conquer strategy, and it was working perfectly. The tribes were fractured, impoverished, and turning on each other.
But out of this absolute despair, two brothers rose up to stop the American machine.
They were Shawnee. The older brother was a brilliant, charismatic warrior named Tecumseh. The younger brother was a man named Lalawethica, who would soon become known to the world as the Prophet.
The story of the Prophet Sisum is absolutely incredible. For most of his early life, Lalawethica was considered a failure. He accidentally shot his own eye out with an arrow. As a kid, he was a terrible hunter, and he became a severe alcoholic, completely dependent on white traders for whiskey.
But in 1805, he fell into a deep coma. His family actually thought he was dead and started preparing his funeral.
Suddenly, he woke up. He claimed that he had died, traveled to the spirit world, and met the Master of Life.
He told his people that the Master of Life had given him a message. The Native Americans had to completely reject European culture. They had to stop drinking whiskey, stop using European muskets and iron pots, and return to their traditional ways of life.
He changed his name to Tenskwatawa, which means the open door. He became a powerful, magnetic religious leader. Thousands of Native Americans from dozens of different tribes started flocking to hear him speak.
Governor William Henry Harrison saw this religious revival happening, and he wanted to shut it down. So Harrison wrote a letter mocking the Prophet. He challenged him, saying, "If you are really a prophet, prove it. Cause the sun to stand still, or the moon to alter its course."
Harrison thought he was calling a bluff, but Tenskwatawa accepted the challenge.
He sent a message back to Harrison and the surrounding tribes. He said, "On June 16th, 1806, I will darken the sun."
And on the morning of June 16th, right on schedule, the sky went pitch black. A total solar eclipse passed directly over the Ohio Valley.
It was an absolute mic drop moment. Tenskwatawa had perfectly predicted a solar eclipse.
How did he know? Historians believe that his brother, Tecumseh, had been talking to British scientists or American astronomers who knew the eclipse was coming and fed the information to his brother.
Regardless of how they did it, the stunt worked flawlessly. Tenskwatawa's religious power was cemented. And Tecumseh immediately started using his brother's religious movement to build a political and military empire.
Tecumseh looked at the American strategy of divide and conquer, and he realized the only way to survive was to unite.
He argued that the land did not belong to any single tribe. It belonged to all Native Americans collectively. Therefore, no single chief had the right to sell it.
Tecumseh traveled relentlessly. He rode from Canada all the way down to the Gulf of Mexico, visiting the Choctaw, the Creek, and the Osage.
He was a spectacular orator. He told them, "A single twig breaks, but the bundle of twigs is strong." He was trying to forge a massive pan-Indian confederacy that could put tens of thousands of warriors on the field to stop the American expansion.
In 1808, the brothers established a massive new capital city for their confederacy in Indiana, located at the junction of the Tippecanoe and Wabash Rivers. They called it Prophetstown.
Prophetstown became a magnet for anti-American resistance. Thousands of warriors from different tribes moved there. It was essentially an independent Native American nation, sitting right in William Henry Harrison's backyard.
The tension reached a boiling point in 1809. While Tecumseh was traveling, Governor Harrison orchestrated the Treaty of Fort Wayne. He bribed a few desperate chiefs and purchased 3 million acres of prime hunting ground for roughly 2 cents an acre.
When Tecumseh returned and found out about the treaty, he was absolutely enraged. He declared the treaty illegal and threatened to kill the chiefs who signed it.
In August 1810, Tecumseh and 400 heavily armed warriors paddled down the Wabash River to Vincennes, the capital of the Indiana Territory, to confront Governor Harrison face to face.
It was one of the most dramatic meetings in American history. Tecumseh stood on the lawn of the governor's mansion and delivered a blistering, furious speech.
He told Harrison that the Americans had pushed the Native Americans from the Atlantic Ocean, and they would not be pushed any further. He explicitly told Harrison, "Do not attempt to survey the lands you just bought. If you cross the boundary line, it will mean war."
Harrison stood his ground. He told Tecumseh the United States had purchased the land fairly, and the president would defend it with the sword.
The two men stared each other down. Tecumseh's warriors actually grabbed their tomahawks, and Harrison's soldiers drew their swords. The entire frontier almost exploded right there on the lawn.
Cooler heads prevailed, and Tecumseh left. But both men knew exactly what was coming.
The next year, in 1811, Tecumseh left Prophetstown again to go on another massive recruiting trip down south, trying to convince the Creek Nation to join his Confederacy.
Before he left, he gave his brother, the Prophet Sile, one strict, absolute order.
"Do not engage the Americans while I am gone. Keep the peace until we are fully united."
But William Henry Harrison knew Tecumseh was gone, and he knew that without its military genius, Prophetstown was vulnerable.
Join us tomorrow for episode 73. The Battle of Tippecanoe. William Henry Harrison marches an army of 1,000 men directly toward Prophetstown. We witness the catastrophic mistake made by Tenskwatawa, the desperate pre-dawn ambush that shatters the Native American alliance, and the smoking ruins that practically guarantee the start of the War of 1812.
I'm Stephen.
And I'm Leah.
You can find every episode at pointedwords.com. And this is our story.